You are listening to Escape to the Magic Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Randy.
I'm Jack.
And this is Ryan. No. Let's keep it. Randy just threw us off. Threw us off there with the intro.
Looks on your faces.
What
was priceless that I did something different in the intro.
Oh my goodness.
It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was good. It was good.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, and with that,
you really are listening to Escape to the Magic Podcast. Yeah. This week is all about Run Disney.
Yeah. So there's been a they just finished a couple of Run Disney events out in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
There's quite a few coming up throughout the rest of the year. So I thought, man, now's the time to talk about Run Disney.
And all of us have participated in Run Disney events, both in person and virtual. So we have some experience. I'm not going to, just for those of you listening, I don't think any of us are going to try and fool you by saying that we are professional runners or even Run Disney pros, but we have participated. I do follow it actually pretty closely. I think out of the three of us, and I guess not lately, so again, asterisk, but I probably run the most out of the three of us. Something I got into pretty seriously a couple years ago when I retired from my last company.
I'll say this. I'm not a runner unless it's up and down a basketball court.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, over the course of my life, I've never been a runner unless it's been on a basketball court. But yeah, like you said, we've done two or three Run Disney events. And I think there's something about Run Disney that gets you a little more excited to run. Personally speaking, from my experiences with the events that I've done, there's just something about the Run Disney atmosphere and how they structure it and how they do it and where you run. I'm sure, Doc, you're going to get into all this,
yeah.
but
yeah.
that just makes it okay. And, you know, yeah, this is something that I want to do. Yeah.
The very first race I ever actually ran, because my whole life, actually, I hated running. Actually, I hated the idea of running. I never did it, but I was just like, oh, that's terrible. But the very first race I ever ran actually was with y'all and our wives, and it was a Run Disney event. It was the Disney Princess 5K. And I walked in there like I could do whatever I wanted and no training, no nothing. and it went great, by the way. But that's what kind of got me a little bit hooked on the juice.
Yeah, well, let's get into it. So Run Disney started out back in 1994. So it was the Disney Marathon, and actually it was called the Walt Disney World Endurance Series, believe it or not. So that was the naming of it, and it started out, like I say, 1994 Disney World. Then in 1995, Disneyland jumped on, and Disneyland ran their marathon series through 2018, which then got cut off with the construction of Galaxy's Edge, but just opened up for 2024. So Disneyland is now running their Run Disney series. A couple of other places you can do Run Disney. You can, of course, we talked about already, you can do a virtual race. Paris, over in Disneyland Paris, they started doing Disneyland races. They opened up in 2016. And then Castaway Key, or Castaway K, however you want to say that, they're on Disney's private island. When you go on a cruise, you can also do a Run Disney event there, which is I've done, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it makes going back to the cruise ship and eating your weight in
justify yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
Makes it all worth it.
So let's get into some of the events and then maybe talk about our experiences personally with Run Disney and how it works. So at Disney World, you basically have four races. Starting in January, you have the big one, which is the Walt Disney World Marathon.
Yeah, so when we talk about race, we're talking about race events.
Yes, right? Sir.
So
yeah.
So there's a for every event, there's actually multiple races that take place, right?
Yeah, good point. So you have typically you're going to have a 5K, you're going to have a 10K, and then this is where it starts to vary a little bit. You'll either have a half and a full or just a half, depending on which event it is that you're participating in. So again, going back, the big granddaddy of them all, right? Kind of like the Rose Bowl is Disney World's Marathon.
Marathon weekend.
And it is huge, right? So they have all four races that day, that weekend. They have the 5, the 10, the half, and the full. And then in February, just a month later, they have the Princess. We talked about that. That one, if I'm not mistaken, 5, 10, and half. Then in April, they usually have some type of springtime, and they just rebrand it or rename it, but it's their springtime race. And then in October and November, they have the Wine and Dine, which is 5, 10, and half as well. Then over at Disneyland, so starting this year in Disneyland, in January, they have their half marathon. Again, there's a 5 and a 10 tied to those. And then, which I think would be a blast, is in Disneyland in September, they run a Halloween half marathon, which would be super fun. And then, of course, there's a few virtual races throughout the year. You would have to just get on RunDisney.com to kind of see when those happen. And then in France, their race is in August, 2024 August. So my experience has been that, especially lately, if you are interested in doing a Run Disney event,
good luck.
Good luck, right. That's a great way of saying it, because you have to be watching ahead of time. There's going to be a registration day, and I would say
it's online.
Yeah, it's all online. And
run by Disney IT.
So for the most part, you are going to have to register that day. When the registration day is, you know, June 15th, you need to be online, ready to go, clicking on that open registration button at the, you know, whatever, 7 a.m. registration time.
Yeah, usually from entry. What I've seen, most of them actually start about 10 a.m. Eastern is when registration time is on a given day. But if you've ever experienced any sort of ticket drop, event drop with Disney online, you know that their technology can be quickly overwhelmed. And part of the reason why it's quickly overwhelmed is because of the volume of people trying to do it at once. I mean, it's... I'm not exaggerating when I say this is like trying to get Taylor Swift tickets. Okay. I'm dead serious. Yeah. Because I participate in a lot of the online groups, the Run Disney groups, especially, like, and I haven't done a Run Disney race in a little while, but man, you watch people's comments and their postings and stuff like that, like 6, 7, 8 hours later, they're still in the queue to get it. And of course, by that time, I can already tell them, like, you're not going to get what you're looking for. Like, it's probably gone by the time you finally break through the queue, but you're going to get into a line online waiting for your computer or whatever it is to kind of catch up. And it could be really tough. Now, that is particularly true for the, I'll call them smaller races, not lesser races, but smaller races. The 5Ks, the 10Ks especially, they're going to fill up first, right? The halves and the full are certainly going to eventually fill up, but not quite as fast. So those won't sell out immediately. And the challenges actually is a little bit of a mixed bag. Some of them go fast. Some of them, you know, there's a little bit of time left. The other thing I will tell you is that actually, it's not a bad idea if for some reason you don't get it and it sells out to keep checking back and watching. On occasion, they will add more spots or something else happens and it opens up. It's interesting because what you're doing when you get online to buy it is you're actually purchasing a race bib. That's really what you're purchasing, is you're purchasing your race bib. And there are organizations, most of them are charitable organizations, who have already pre-negotiated to buy a block of bibs, and then you can actually go through some of those charities, and if you raise money for them, you can earn a bib. Now, I'm going to say I don't have any experience with that. What I've seen there is also a mixed bag. Some of these groups of people are better than others in terms of actually delivering that to you. Some of them have their own commitments with Disney where they have to do things in order to actually get that block. And if they don't meet it by a deadline, then that block of bibs goes back into the Disney inventory and it could open back up. I've seen all of those sorts of things happen. It's really kind of a funky thing. You got to kind of, to a certain degree, be in the runner's world to know all of these sorts of things, I've found. But
well, I think what you just, you've given some good advice there, because as we stand here on the date of this recording, next year's marathon weekend is completely sold out.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the point I was going to make, is every single race through,
and that's January 9th through 12th, right?
Yeah.
We're having this discussion right now in May of 2024. January's races are completely sold out, including the challenges.
Yeah, and every race up to that point.
Yep.
Yeah, so through the rest of 2024, completely sold out. So what I would say is, if this is something you're interested in participating in, definitely do your pre-research. Do not think that you're going to just show up the day of or the day before the race and register and get in. This is not like a little community pancake run. This is a major event.
Well, and the marathon gets about 20,000 runners. That's just the merit. That's the 26.2 mile marathon gets about 20,000 runners. And to Randy's point, that's the last one to fill up. I don't know how many do the 5K and the 10K. I would imagine more than the 20,000 each race. So you're talking about a weekend of probably well over 100,000 runners descending upon. And some of the, and you do have a few that will do the 5 and the 10, or, you know, they do all four races, right? Because they're insane. But
can I talk about that for a second? So, because this is a bucket list item for me. I don't know how I'm going to be able to do it, because you got to get on so that you can get a spot. But the premier challenge race, I believe, takes place during marathon weekend, and it's called the Dopey Challenge, right? Dopey, the dwarf from Snow White. The Dopey Challenge is that you complete all four Walt Disney World Marathon weekend races on pace. So in other words, you can't get swept. And by getting swept means that you have to complete within a certain period of time. If you don't, there's this group of people called the Balloon Ladies. And if they pass you, you're getting on a bus and they're taking you to the finish line. You weren't fast enough. So all four marathon weekend races, that's 48.6 miles in a weekend. It starts Thursday, finishes Sunday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So 5K, 10K, half, full, in that order, and you earn the Dopey Challenge medal, right, for having completed. I want to do this really, really bad. I don't know why. I just do. I think it would be so cool.
It must be a pretty cool medal.
It's every year, it looks really cool. Plus, by the way, you don't get just that medal. You get the medals for all the other races. So actually, you get six medals, because there's another challenge that's included in this, which is the Goofy's race and a half challenge, which is if you just do the half and the full, you get that one. So you could get three medals for that. If you do the Dopey, you get all four medals plus the two challenge medals. And what one of the coolest things is, if you go on marathon weekend, I think this is cool. Maybe some people think it's dumb, but you go on marathon weekend, you see people that have completed these things. They've got their shirt on and they're wearing all their medals as they go and get on the attractions and rides. And I'm like, yeah, that's these people. They didn't give up. They're still going. They just did 50 miles in 4 days and they're still walking the parks and getting on attractions.
I would have to dress up.
I think it's cool.
I would have to dress up like Forrest Gump if I'm going to do the dopey challenge. 48 miles in a week. Oh, I can't fathom that. 48.6. I can't even imagine doing two of those races in a weekend, much less four of them.
I think I could handle the 0.6. That would be my
Dude, I want to do it. Like, it's like for the same reason I want to complete a full Ironman, right? Like, I don't know why. I just feel like I ought to do that in my lifetime.
I want to eat at every buffet at Disney. That's my challenge. That's my goal.
So can I tell you about another event? Because I think that's it's kind of funny. It's a little bit on point, but this is a virtual race. This is this year's virtual race. It's taking place between June 1st and August 31st this year. But this year's virtual series is called a Snacktacular Celebration. Snacktacular Celebration, and the races are all 5Ks. So you can complete the Mickey Mouse Waffle 5K,
To go for some Mickey Mouse waffles.
You can complete the Mickey Mouse bar 5K. You can complete the Minnie Mouse candy apple 5K. And if you are a boss, then you can complete the pineapple whip soft serve challenge, which is all three of the 5Ks. And you put your stuff in there. So,
and those virtual races do not fill up. Is that correct?
No, that is not true. They do.
Oh, they do.
In fact, right now, like I said, this is coming up here very shortly. So that's actually starts next month. But everything is sold out except for the challenge.
Yeah. So they basically have a set number of medals that they're going to hand out. And so once those medals are taken up, then that sells out the virtuals. Maybe this might be a good time to talk about costs. Right. So what I would say is, so my wife, I told her this was going to be our topic, and she's like, well, you got to talk about this. You got to talk about this. You got to talk about this, because my wife is a runner as well. And so she participates or has participated in quite a few of what I would call community races and different race events throughout the state and so forth. And so one thing she wanted me to bring up was that a Run Disney event is much more expensive.
Way more expensive.
Than what you would normally experience. So she wanted to make sure that we talked about like a runner's experience with Run Disney, and then maybe more like Ryan and I's novice experience of Run Disney, right? So that, and again, we talked about this on a previous episode. I think Disney does a really good job of finding a good balance between runners and, you know, I don't want to call this your pancake breakfast run, but just a fun run type of environment. Yeah. I don't think it's that watered down as a fun run would be. It's a little bit more than that, but I don't think also the flip side of this is you're not running in the Boston or the New York Marathon when you go to Disney. That is not the purpose of these runs. So anyways, let's get back to the cost. So just as an average, what I found is that for your 5K, you're going to spend anywhere between $115 and $120 or so, you know, depending on where you are and which event it is that you're going to. The 10Ks, from what I saw, were running between $150 and
$175. Yep.
Halves were anywhere between $225 and $260. The full was $226. So I thought that was
interesting. It's a couple bucks more for a full versus a half.
And then to go back to your point of the dopey, so you don't. What's cool is if you're going to do the dopey, you don't have to log into all four races. You can go straight to the dopey. It's $689 from the last one that I saw. And you can just order the dopey, and that automatically registers you for all the other races.
So you're going to pay $600 to run 48.6 miles.
That's correct. Yeah.
That's insane to me.
Plus tax.
Yeah. One thing I will add here is, you brought up earlier the balloon ladies and being swept off an event and kind of going back to my fun run mentality. So the time is a 16-minute mile.
Yeah.
That's your qualifier, which I can say for me personally, I absolutely could walk a 16-minute mile. I think most people could just walk.
That's a brisk walk.
Yeah.
It's a brisk walk. It is.
It's not a stroll.
It's not a stroll.
Yeah.
Right. I like when we go on a Sunday afternoon walk here in our neighborhood, it's typically a 2 mile. We go here to a friend's house in the back and we turn and come back. It's literally exactly 2 miles there and back. We typically do it in about 40 minutes, right? That's a casual strolling pace. You got to be a little bit quicker than that. You are trying to move. Your heart rate will get a little bit higher than normal from walking, but it's very doable.
Yeah, I think so too. And then once you get to the half and the full, I think they give you a 2.5 hour time frame. And if you think you can do it faster than 2.5 hours, then you have to submit a proof of time. Again, you're still at a timed race. You have the potential to be swept on any of the races. But if you're going to run faster, then you do need to provide a proof of time. So I thought that was interesting as far as analytics are concerned with, again, this is not, if you're a runner, and by that I mean you compete regularly in real races, right? And not even like the Boston or the New York, but just real races, I think there is a potential for you to feel some frustration at a Run Disney event.
Yeah.
Because it's very crowded. Ryan, you brought up some of the numbers, right? You have some very novice runners that are not moving to one side. And so, and I, maybe this is a good time to bring it up. There's a lot of stopping and starting as you're running in a Run Disney event.
Yep.
So there are characters along the way as you're running through the parks, right? A lot of photo ops. I think that's one of the fun, adventurous things about competing in a Run Disney event is you're literally running through the parks in a lot of cases. Now, I don't think I know you're not running through the parks all the time, especially when you get out on the half and the full. You're running on Disney property, but you're on a highway, and then you end up running through the parks. But as a real runner, you might get frustrated because you're getting into your pace, and then all of a sudden, a big crowd in front of you stops to get a picture with Snow White. And mm-hmm. that, again, I think that's something you should know as a runner going into some of these events.
Yeah, go ahead, Ryan.
I was going to mention, though, and again, this is my novice understanding of marathons, but if you are the running type and you submit your proof of time prior to the race, and they're going to put you in the corrals, right?
Yeah.
You know, our Princess
Weekend. They're going to put you in the earlier corrals, yeah. Right? So, you know, you're going to be grouped in there. And, you know, one of the things to keep in mind is there are people who run the Boston and the New York and big marathons across the world. There are actually some pro runners that are going to be participating in these things too.
Oh, for sure.
They're going to be in the A corral, right?
Yeah.
They're going to get out there and go first, and they're going to get through. Those people are also not stopping for pictures.
Yeah. Right? I would say to your point, Dag, we were, I think, in the 12th corral during that one weekend. And
out of 12.
Out of 12. Yeah. And, I think there were a few behind us.
Yeah, there were.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, if you're trying to run.
Yeah, which was interesting because I'm looking up here and we weren't all in the same corral, even though we registered at the same time.
We weren't.
I don't know how that worked, but I was in that A group, and for whatever reason, you guys were way back there in D or E or something like that.
Yeah.
And in the end, Kayla and I said, well, we're going to go with you guys, right? We didn't. Like I said, it was my very first race ever. I didn't even know what that meant. I remember asking, "Is like, why do I have this A on here?"
Yeah.
So for those of you who are not runners and you're just looking into this, what happens is they're going to put you in groupings. They call them corrals. And these groups are based on your time as a runner.
Or your predicted time.
What is your
time.
Pace? Yeah. What is your predicted time or predicted pace? Obviously, the faster ones are going to be in front. And the slow pokes like me are going to be in the back, ideally. This is another good time to, I think, bring out some of the fun of a Disney race is that costumes are completely allowed
and
in fact, encouraged. Yeah, encouraged as part of these Run Disney events. And I'm telling you, people get so creative and it is so fun. I think that's half of the fun of a Run Disney event is going and seeing everybody's different costumes and how they dress up. Some are elaborate. I mean, they're like Kronk with the whole tent on his back.
Yeah. I don't know how you complete a race that.
Yeah. And they're running the whole time. One time when we went, there was eight guys, like manly dudes, but they were all dressed up as the princesses.
As princesses. Yeah.
It was great. Everybody was getting their pictures taken with these dudes. I mean, full on beards and the whole bit. Right.
Yeah.
And, but it was great. So absolutely, and what's cool about it is, to my knowledge, other than a Halloween party event, this is the only time an adult can fully get in costume and get dressed up and be in the parks at Disney. Otherwise, it's off limits, right?
Yeah. Masks.
Not
allowed
gonna,
still.
Right, yeah.
Still
they're
no
not going to let you wear masks.
I was just looking at the rules here just to make sure I had it on there. No, it is true. And you get really fully into what's going on. It's just about this immersion sort of a thing. I did want to say real fast before I lost it, you know, again, for those of you who are used to you've got a routine that gets you ready for a race. I just recommend you have some flexibility in your thinking on how this goes. You know, there are going to be some challenges and there are naturally some challenging situations. For instance, if you're staying on a Disney property, it could be kind of hard to get to the race start point if you're relying on Disney transportation on race day, because there's a lot of people that are going to be in that boat. You know, when we did our very first one there for Princess Weekend, we were staying off-site, off-property, so we drove and we got there, and it really wasn't that big of an issue for us. But every event, I get on there and I read about people who were waiting for buses or having a hard time. And if you are a runner who has a routine and you need to be at the, you know, at the race at a certain time so you can stretch, you can do all sorts of stuff, you may need to start planning even further in advance. These races do start at 5 a.m. That's when the first corral is leaving, is at 5 a.m. So you can expect to be there pretty early to get this going, and it could be challenging. And if you're late and you think you're going to start with the first group, you're not anymore, right? Like, if you're not in your corral at the assigned time, then you're no longer in that corral. There's no like, hey, okay, we'll let you in line to go do it. No, they're very much regimented on, hey, we've got to keep the event moving at the pace that it's moving at. So just be prepared for those sorts of things. It is a lot of people, and importantly, it's a lot of inexperienced people. So you're going to show up in an event thinking, hey, this is how a race should go. 90% of the people that are out there participating probably haven't done a whole lot of these.
Yeah.
So they're not going to have the same race etiquette that you are expecting on the track or on the, you know, the course, anywhere you go, even in the prep area, all of that.
But I would say too that, and I had never done a race before our Run Disney experience, right? I would say though that, and I don't know how other races are, I don't have that experience, but I would say it was they're very well organized from the announcers that were on the stage getting people hyped up and ready to go, from the fireworks that went off every time a corral left, to the end of the race when you pass through the finish line and they're giving you your little box of granola bars and drinks and whatnot. I was very impressed with just the organization behind it all. And I think for me, that's what kind of makes it fun is, like, you know, you are coming to this event where, yeah, I had never done a race before, but I felt like I was allowed to be there because it just was a very well put on, very organized, very just a very good event.
So yeah, so maybe let's kind of go now through a race day or what to expect. So now you've registered, your race is coming up, and just kind of talk about a little bit of maybe some pre-race preparations you should make and then actual race day expectations you should have as part of a Run Disney event. And again, by no means are we the Run Disney experts. We just thought we would share our experiences with you and what we've learned over the years as far as some things to maybe expect and some things to plan for. So pre-race day, the first thing I would tell you is, and you brought it up just a minute ago, Randy, lodging, right? So making that decision, am I going to stay on-site? Am I going to stay off-site? I would say if you are planning on staying on-site and you know you're going to participate in a Run Disney event, book now. Like,
yeah.
It is such a busy weekend for the parks and for the hotels. Even before you register for the race, I would get your lodging in place. It's that important.
Outside of Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's, marathon weekend is the busiest weekend at Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
Bar none, hands down, you will not see bigger crowds at the parks than you see at this time.
And I would say, again, like if you're staying on site. Now, if you're staying off site at a, you know, a different hotel or a VRBO or something like that, which I think is fun, if you're going with a group of people, right? Because then you can all kind of stay together, but which you could on site as well, I guess. But my point is that I would make sure that I have my lodging in place before I ever worried about getting my race registration in place. Because I can always cancel
your lodging. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now you're booked. You've got your race registered. You're ready to go. You're going to show up at Disney World or Disneyland a day or two before the race, right? So probably a day before at least. And you're going to go to, at least I can speak to Disney World. I can't speak to Disneyland because I don't know how they're doing it this this time around. But for Disney World, you're going to go to the ESPN Sports...
Wide World of Sports.
Yeah. Arena. It's not arena. Center. And it's where they hold all of the cheerleading, football competitions and all of that that they host there as well. And you're going to go on their complex there and pick up your bib. You're going to get your corral assignments, all of that. And then they have tons of vendors there. You're going to get some Disney run, Disney swag and all of that stuff. So that's
you can go,
fun.
You can go get taped up.
Yeah, that's taped up.
I mean, there's everything that you would expect to find at a big race event is going to be there and available for you as well. Pro tip there, though, is you want to get in there early.
Yeah.
You don't want to wait till late. It's possible that if you miss the time, you don't get your stuff.
Yeah.
Then good luck, right? I mean, there are hours of operation. It's not a 24/7 sort of situation.
And then the only other thing I would add is get your rest. You mentioned earlier, Randy, these races start at 5 a.m., so there is a very good chance that whether you're on-site or off-site, you're probably waking up 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the morning to either catch a bus or to get in your car, your vehicle, get over to the parks, park, and get set so that you can be in the race area well in advance of the actual race start time.
And I would add, you know, we mentioned getting your lodging, booking that early. I would also make sure that you have arranged your transportation plan. You know what you're doing. Research it out. Try and find out if you're staying on property. Make sure that you understand everything about how Disney World transportation works on race days. It is available, but it is not like they're not like running buses left and right. I mean, there is some limits to what's available there. You may need to arrange for an Uber to come pick you up in advance, all sorts of stuff. You can do that, by the way. You can book your Uber or Lyft ride and you can schedule it in advance just like you would anything else. So just be ready to go.
And then I would also add, you know, decide if you guys are going to go to the park after the races. It sounds crazy, but that energy and that...
No, what's crazy is not going to the park after the race. That's what's crazy.
Yeah.
With your medal on.
Yeah, it's fun. You mentioned just a minute ago, Randy, you know, all the racers or a lot of the racers show up there. They're wearing their medals. A lot of them are still in, you know, what costumes they are allowed. I would call it more Disney-bounding costumes.
Yeah.
In the parks, or they're at least wearing their race day shirts in the parks. And so it's a lot of fun. So I would highly encourage you get park tickets as well. You know, again, pre-buy these out. Don't wait. Don't get them at the gate or the turnstiles. Actually plan ahead and say, okay, yeah, we're going to go to the parks. We'll probably go home, take a nap after the race, but end up at back of the parks.
You know, aspirational opportunity for you here. I'm not necessarily saying you should do this, but I am aware of in the longer races that go through the parks, by the time you get there, the park actually is open and operating. It's not uncommon for racers to perhaps veer off course a little bit to hop on a ride in the middle of the race. Good reason to, by the way, in advance, probably wise to do some training. Make sure that you can do it and be ahead of pace. You know, a 16-minute mile is what's required. They recommend that you have trained for at least a 15-minute mile. I would say that if you're trying to do something like hopping a ride somewhere during the race, you probably need to be looking closer to that 8 or 9 minute mile mark, right? So that's a quick pace, but it can be done. I know of people who do that regularly. I'm not saying you should, and I'm not saying it's allowed. I just know of it.
Yeah. So let's talk about race day. So you're going to show up. Like I say, you're probably going to get there somewhere around 4 a.m. Even though the races don't start until 5, there's lots of events. Ryan, you alluded to earlier, they have DJs and music blasting. And this was kind of my...
A million porta potties.
A gazillion porta potties.
Like it's like porta potty city.
Yeah. This was actually my first race experience as well. I've done other races now since then. Again, I'm not a runner, but I was amazed at the production and the show that is going on. They have a whole stage, and like Ryan was mentioning, fireworks are going off. And so anyways, what was some of y'all's impressions well, of that race day.
I will say this in terms of, because again, yeah, we were like in the 12th starting block, you know, section, and it was a good hour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, after the first runners left, Corral A Group 1 left. I mean, we were probably a good hour after them leaving. So I remember that taking a while just because there's 20, 30,000 people and they don't start them all right away. They have a block of, you know, probably 100 to 200 people that they send them off and then you wait 5 minutes. You give them some space ahead of you and then the next block's going to go. That took a while for me, longer than I probably expected, but I understand why they had to do it because you got 20, 30,000 people out there looking
around. And as complete rookies there, we didn't know what was going to happen or how this goes. That's what I remember about race day. I walked in, I was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where am I supposed to go? Why am I supposed to do it? How's this supposed to work? You guys know me. I get a little uptight about we're supposed to be doing these things, like, let's go. I want to make sure that we're, because I don't want to miss out on something by having not followed the directions to get it there, right? Once I figure out how things work, then I'm much more flexible in ignoring the directions. But if it's new, like, I'm like, no, I want to be on top of it. So I remember that a lot. I felt a little bit of that anxiety because I just didn't really understand what was happening. But you're right. I think we got there probably about 4:30, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. So 4:30 a.m. And I don't think we hit the course until pretty close to 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. And there's fun things going on, not just the stage show and the concert and all that that's going on beforehand. There's photo opportunities beforehand as well. So now kind of rolling forward, they're going to call your corral number or letter, and then you're going to go and stand. And Ryan, to your point, I thought that was the long part, is we were in our
corral. In the corral waiting.
And you could see the start, you know, line ahead of you, and there was probably two or three corrals ahead of you. And so you were just standing there chilling basically until your actual corral got called forward to start the race. And then once the race gets going, so they shoot off the fireworks and all that stuff for each corral that takes off. And then once the race gets going, I think that's where the real fun starts to kick in. Again, you're seeing all different kinds of runners in costumes. There's different photo opportunities for you to stop and get a photo with a character. And there's all kinds of characters. Obviously, we did the princess run, so there was a lot of princesses out on the course that we were able to take pictures with, which I thought was a lot of fun. And there's what, so that you know, what's happening is these the photographers are taking a picture and they're catching your bib. And then one thing I will say that is actually positive is that Disney Photo seems to be able to identify and connect you with that, you know, that bib number to you pretty easily and pretty quickly. Like, it loaded on our phones, I think even in some cases before the race was over, we were already seeing our photos of us, you know, as we were racing and meeting with the different characters. One thing that I thought was cool is, you know, you're running these races in January and February in some cases, and so it can be a little bit cold in the mornings or cooler in the mornings. It doesn't always necessarily be that way, which is a good time to insert. These Run Disney events, they're rain or shine. They are happening no matter what. So even if it's cold or if it's rainy or if it's whatever, you are going, that race is going to go on. But to that point, if you have like a hoodie or gloves or whatever and you're running along, one thing that my wife pointed out that I thought was really cool is you can just, if you want to, you could just pull those off and discard them, and then they get donated to a clothing center, you know, for a good cause. So I thought that's cool. Really cool.
Yeah.
What else am I missing, guys?
Hey, real fast, so sorry, not to go back, but I love modern technology. So
did you pull your pictures up too?
I did.
Like,
yeah.
I just did the same thing.
I'm looking at the timestamps.
I'm like, I got it right here. 6:05 a.m. is when the fireworks went off for us to finally go.
I have the exact same video. Yep, 6:05 a.m.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
what time? We got there like at 4:30?
Yeah, we were there like 4:30.
So a good hour and a half after we arrived is when we finally started the race. Yeah, anyway, that's funny.
So I mentioned this a minute ago. You're not always in the park. So we ran in the 5K. We were, for the most part, in Epcot, but there was a few times where we were out on the roads. Again, not a big deal. There's tons of volunteers there showing you where to go, keeping you on course, helping you along the way. So I thought that was super helpful.
Well, it was cool, too, about running through Epcot is that they opened up behind Epcot.
Yeah,
so you
yeah.
get to see some parts of the park that you don't normally
right.
don't get
behind
to see.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah, it was really cool.
For sure.
Also a little industrial, but it was still kind of cool to see.
If you've never been back there, you're like, whoa.
Yeah, like we ran
underneath test track right?
Yeah, it was cool. The other thing I would say, now definitely if you were in the half or the full, you are absolutely out of the parks.
Yeah, you're on the highway.
You're on that main highway.
You're on the highway until you get to the Magic Kingdom.
What is that? World Drive?
World Drive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Personal jinx.
One thing I will say that was, and Ryan, you mentioned this, and I'd kind of forgotten about this, but when you brought it up the other day when we were kind of talking about this is the episode we wanted to do. So our wives were running in the half, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. They did the half.
And we were not. We were running in the half churro marathon. But what was cool is they were able to text us and let us know along the way, hey, we're here. And we ended up being in Magic Kingdom and finding them as they were running up Main Street towards the castle. And you want to talk about one of those core, heartwarming, you know, memories is seeing your wife run into Magic Kingdom and up Main Street. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was,
I was surprised how, I mean, I knew it was going to be a cool experience, but I think because of its Main Street, the castle, the running through the castle and the music that was playing.
Yeah.
And not only that, you just see all these people, like the whole one side of Main Street was just full of people cheering on their loved ones. Like it was a really, really cool experience.
Yeah, for sure. So as you start to end... Oh, you have a thought? Okay. So as you start to end the race or get to the finish line, what's going to happen is you're going to come through the finish line, and then for us, our experience was you immediately pick up your medal after that.
Yeah.
Which I think is pretty standard when
it comes
to races.
Pretty standard any race, pretty much.
And then, again, my wife was like, you got to explain this for the actual runners. So the post... race activities and your post race swag food bucket,
yeah,
or box. Apparently, Disney needs some help in this area. So, in most races, most of your official run races, you get a pretty good box meal or treats, granola bars, Gatorades, all that stuff afterwards. My wife's experience was that Disney's was pretty lacking. It was, you know, not the best post-race nutrition kit that you were able
to get.
Got
a banana.
I think there was like some...
There's a bag of chips.
Some chips. Was yeah. there,
chips, banana.
I'm yeah. just saying you go to... Like she brought up the point, you go to some races and there's like tents and burgers and, you know, it's all part of the race environment.
Yeah, yeah. You know, when those other races are sponsored by other people, it's true. It is. I do think it's interesting with all of Disney's ability to provide things, and particularly for the price. I think this probably is definitely a criticism of it. You would think that you get a little bit more TLC at the end. I've been to some races where it's awesome. And for instance, great example of this, right? You brought it up earlier, Pancake Run. You know, here close by to us, the city of Friendswood does a Flapjack 5K every every Thanksgiving time. And the prize for the overall winner, and this is a competitive race, by the way, because the reason why is the prize for the overall winner is a year's worth of Whataburger.
What?
Hold up.
Ryan just got interested in running.
You better set your sights on
a year's worth of Whataburger?
16 to 18 minute 5K to do that. And jeez. I think the only way you could do it is if you're like 16 years old, because that's who seems to win it every year. But they get a year's worth. But for the rest of us, we get Whataburger pancakes for breakfast, right? And it's generally okay. The point being here, you know, I've been to a lot of races, and you do get a lot more than just a banana and a bag of chips. Now, in fairness, haven't done this at Disney for actually quite some time now. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe I don't know what their game is now and how it's going, but that was a little disappointing. But for a rookie or a novice, I actually was surprised that they gave us anything at all. I was like, oh, really?
That's true.
Do I got to pay for this food? Because I got to pay for everything else here.
I was happy with the box of food.
Yeah, they were like, yeah, take two.
Yeah, right. So.
Yeah, for sure. The other thing I would say is just have fun. Like, I think this is a great opportunity for the novice runner to jump into the racing world, if that's something you're interested in doing. And just have a fun time doing it. You get to dress up. You get to, you know, take breaks. For me, that was important. I'm like, I don't know that I can run this distance. I think the second time we did it, I got talked into doing a 10K. And I was
You and I did the virtual 10K here in my neighborhood.
Yeah, I'm like, I just don't know if I can do that.
We did it.
Yeah, but we did it.
I want to say this. I remember after we finished that first 5K, Ryan, you and I looked at each other and was like, I could go for five more now.
Yeah. 5K was very easy.
But it was the energy, right?
Yeah. Yes,
it was the energy that we had coming off of it. It was like, oh, yeah, you know, like this is great. And it's funny, as I look at the pictures and I look at the timestamps, like, we posted a terrible time. Terrible time to do this. But we just had so much energy, like, oh, I could do it. Now, our terrible time was well in advance of a 16-minute mile, right?
Yeah.
But I think we just had the energy from being there in Disney that brought it out. And that's probably where I started to think, hey, I could do this running thing. It's not the same when you're in your neighborhood versus you're in the parks.
Well, I think for me too, because I know we're going long, but if you're a Disney, if you're just a Disney fan, you like going to the parks, this is an opportunity to do, like, to go to the parks, but do something a little different that you're not normally used to doing, which just, again, it just adds a different element to the Disney, to your Disney love. Like, you're running around World Showcase, which you don't get to run at Epcot.
They're always telling you don't run.
Yeah, don't
walk,
run,
please.
You get to run. It's just like, it's just a different feeling being there when you're doing these events. So yeah. 100% recommend doing a Run Disney event.
So maybe just go around the room one more time. We'll skip a magical scenario, but we'll just say pro or not pro Run Disney. So starting with you, Randy, are you a pro?
100%? Definitely, yeah. Definitely in favor.
Yeah. Ryan, would you do another?
That's everyone running through?
That's everyone
clapping,
running through the castle.
Yeah. So Ryan is a pro. I will say I'm 100% pro. In fact, my wife dropped a little gem on me. She just had a birthday last month. And she said, for my birthday, I want to do Run Disneyland. So she's planning and looking ahead to maybe a Run Disneyland event in January. So I'm super excited about that. I will not be running. I will be eating at Disneyland. But I'll be
there
to support her.
You'll be there at the finish line with your churros in hand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
I think I'd like to run California.
Yeah.
Because one thing we didn't mention whatsoever, you get Florida weather.
Yeah.
And it's going to be thick. The humidity is going to be, you know, it could be stifling. It doesn't matter. I mean, you guys remember it was February we were running that princess, and like, it was brutally hot and humid.
It was a little warm.
For 5 a.m.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, so I would say if you have not ever done but have been curious about doing a Run Disney event, I would highly encourage you to participate in one of those races.
Yeah, maybe one day, magical scenario, we do an Escape to the Magic podcast Run Disney meetup.
Nice.
I'm in.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
All right, thanks everyone for listening. We hope we gave you some good info on Run Disney, and
Check us out on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and hey, give us a quick review on Apple if you can. If you like the show, go in there, give us a 5-star review, and just let us know what you think, and helps the show grow. And obviously, we 100% appreciate any positive feedback we get.
Like, share, subscribe.
There you go.
Thanks, y'all.
Bye. Thanks, everyone.